Hi, welcome to our, well, our one of our very first podcasts, one of our very first shows for Our Ochre Way. We have a website called OurOchreWay.com, and it's really, the format at this point is a blog. It's set up so that we have entries Monday through Friday. Jason and I talk about our experiences on the farm, our experiences on the homestead, basic things, anything related to that. So I've talked about our upcoming wedding, I've talked about chickens, we've talked about permaculture plants, we've talked about natural birth, because I've witnessed a natural birth and I was so excited about it. So there's lots of things that we have to say, and really any topic is up for grabs. It just depends on if it's something we feel motivated to talk about or something we've experienced. So I want to talk about a little bit about me, Emma, and Jason, and how we met, and how we even came to be where we are now, the history, a little bit of Our Ochre Way, and the reasons for why we do things. So, I originally, years ago, about four years ago, started a blog that was through WordPress. It was OurOchreWay.wordpress.com. And that blog is still in existence, I just don't use it really anymore. And I named it Our Ochre Way because I've always been fascinated by red ochre, or even yellow ochre, but the ochre pigment and the ochre kind of clay stone material. Because of, first of all, it's one of the first forms of art that has ever been found, that's ever been recognized by early humans. There's a lot of debate about what art is and how when it began, but something that seems to clearly be art was carved into a piece of red ochre. And you can see it, it's linear, you know, shapes or horizontal vertical lines kind of crisscrossing each other. It's very beautiful. That's one thing that I'm interested in, because I'm interested in the history of humanity, the history of humankind, history of our spirituality, and how animal we actually are at the same time that we are, you know, social, conscious, emotional humans. So that's one reason why I chose the name Our Ochre Way. Another reason is because the color is beautiful to me. That reddish color, I mean, there's a lot of variations of the color, but that kind of red-brown color, to me, that's the color of life. That's the color of soil. And it was actually never the color of my soil until Jason and I bought our home about a year ago. And then we realized that, hey, the soil here is the color of ochre. And it kind of reinvigorated me on starting our blog journey together, where I had originally thought of it a while ago, but I love this color. And I also love symbolically what the color means to me. A lot of what I had said in my very first post on my blog a long time ago was that ochre to me is a symbol for life. We come into this world covered in an ochre color. We come into this world covered in blood, and that's life-giving blood. And throughout our life, we experience ochre-colored experiences, which can either be interpreted to be a painful experience or simply a bloody one, like giving birth or witnessing such a thing or raising children and seeing their blood, having to wipe that up, or even something like a passion, like a red passion or a love or being or caring. Also something related to the earth, because ochre is the color of the soil, of course. It reminds us that we are all so very integrally related to the earth still, and to the systems that support the earth and are on the earth. We can't escape that. It would be ridiculous for us to try to. And not only should we not escape it, we should embrace it and find ways to integrate natural living and nature and the spirituality that comes with that into our daily lives. Hopefully everyone thinks of that and tries to embed it in their life in some way, because it makes us, in my opinion, better humans to be aware of our place in the system and what we can do as stewards of the system. So all of those things together to me go into kind of making up the idea of what ochre means to me. And I relayed this information to Jason, and he agreed that the symbology was great and that we wanted to use that name again for what we've got going now. Now, the name of our homestead is not Our Ochre Way. The name of our homestead is Kuskawinyasun Homestead. That is, it sounds very Spanish, but it's actually in Quechua, Kuskawinyasun. It means let's grow together in Quechua, which was the language of the Inca Empire, who were around many years ago in Peru, in South America. A little bit in a couple of the other countries, very small pieces in the bordering countries around Peru, but mostly, primarily, their empire was in Peru. And the reason that our homestead is called Kuskawinyasun Homestead, from the Quechua language, is because Jason and I met each other in Peru. Now, we met in Peru in the summer of 2011. Jason is actually 4 years younger than me. I just turned 28, and he just turned 24. And we met when we were still in undergraduate school. I went to undergraduate school later because of other reasons I can talk about some other time. And he went out of high school. He grew up in Florida and went to University of Florida, and I grew up in North Carolina and went to a school in one of the larger cities in North Carolina, that's Greensboro, which is about an hour away from where we live now. So through our universities, we were both studying abroad. Jason was there helping one of his professors do some faunal analysis, which means analyzing animal bones from the past in the archaeological record and looking at what that says about the people that lived in the area and what they did and what certain things meant to them ritually, symbolically, emotionally, etc., physically. And I was doing something also related to archaeology and animal bones. I was going to do my first field school in archaeology because at the time I was thinking I might want to be an archaeologist, specifically a zoo archaeologist, which is an archaeologist that looks at animal remains. Obviously, the word zoo in that. So, I was doing the field school, kind of learning about the archaeological world and how that works. And I was also conducting some independent research for my senior thesis that involved cooking and burning bones of alpaca, which, if you don't know what alpaca are, first of all, they're yummy. The meat is good. And they're related to llama. While in Peru, llamas were generally used for, like, kind of pack animals and things like that. And I believe they were eaten some. Alpaca, they're used more commonly now for the meat, and also they have longer hair. So they are used, for, you know, like sheep for shearing, things like that. So you could easily buy this alpaca meat in portions, usually a leg or, you know, a front leg, back leg, that kind of a thing, rib cage, at the farmer's market that was in town. That was the mercado. And so I was there doing research, burning those bones, trying to figure out how the different ways people might have used them, cooked them, etc., was going to affect, like, what the bones look like. Now, I was really excited about this. I've always been into animal bones. But actually, through the course of being there, I realized that although my experiments were really fun and the whole experience was wonderful, I prefer animal bones when I get to paint them and wear them in my ears and make them into beautiful jewelry and cut them up and make beads out of them. I love them, but I love them in a way that I can appreciate them in a tactile way, as opposed to just kind of categorizing them and you know, analyzing them, but without affecting them in any way. I guess, like many other humans of the past and present, love to affect what's around them, and I really love to affect animal bones and include them in my wardrobe and things like that. So, I was there doing those experiments, and Jason was there doing research with his professor, and, I mean, in a smallish town in Peru where really none of the locals at all speak English, you, of course, have connections within the English speakers, and you get used to seeing them around. So, I met him there, and we really only were together in Peru for about 3 weeks or something before we decided what we had was pretty important and we needed to figure out how long-term important it really was. So we decided to pay a good bit of money to extend our plane tickets and to, instead of flying out of one of the larger cities in Peru, Arequipa, which is really the white city, the Spaniards kind of named it that, instead of flying out with the other group that we had been in Peru with, we decided that he and I were going to stay on for about 5 more days and actually do some tourism stuff, which we had not done much of in Peru, and get a little bit more certain about what on earth we were going to do. Because he lived in Florida, I lived in North Carolina, I was 20, I don't know, he laughs at me because I can never remember how old I am, even though I'm only 28, I'm like, am I 24, am I 23? And at the time, I have no memory of how old I was, and he says, I told him, like, that I was 2 different ages at different points, and I'm sure I wasn't trying to lie, I just could not remember. But I know that he was 21 when I met him, so I guess that makes me 25 when I met him. So, I was thinking, man, he's young, I don't know, this could be silly, it's study abroad, everybody meets somebody when they're studying abroad, come on, this can't be real, but at the same time, I kind of knew it was. So we confirmed that it was, in fact, real. And then we were together for a year before we both graduated. And then he, without any pause, really said, oh, yes, I'll move up there. Sounds good. Sounds fine. And in the process of us being together and learning a little bit more about us and ourselves individually, we realized that archaeology was not what we wanted to do. We wanted to do homesteading. We wanted to do farming and gardening and sustainable living and get back to the garden, get back to nature. So that's what we did. My father has been a gardener for most of his adult life. My parents have lived in the city, but my father's always done gardening and he's a pretty knowledgeable guy. He farms by the almanac. And I've always admired him and what he does, and I've always loved it. I've had a garden myself as a young adult in apartments. And Jason's grandfather actually really wanted to be a farmer, but he never ended up doing it. He just never kind of got around to it, but he really wanted to be one. And then my dad's grandfather was a sharecropper, really poor family in the country. I believe it was in Georgia. Really poor family. They were a sharecropper family. So my dad always talks about how farming is in our blood. And I like that. I think that's true. So Jason and I have merged families and we'll be legally merging families in September of this year when we get married on our homestead. But so we decided that we were gonna do it. We weren't going to just imagine that we would like to do it. We were going to straight up do it. So we decided to buy a house. We bought where we live now in Stokes County, North Carolina, about a year ago. Actually, in a few weeks, we'll have a year anniversary of being in our house. And everything, I mean, it's just been great. Everything's been great. We love our house. We love our land. We have almost 16 acres, and it has beautiful topography and terrain. It's got some hills. It's got some little valleys, little gullies. We have a pond. We don't have any running water, which is one thing that I think we were a little concerned about initially, but at this point we've realized that we haven't even, you know, thought about it, worried about it too much. And we have a couple dogs and a cat and some chickens at this point, and we're going to move forward, obviously, with more things, and that's a lot of what we'll talk about, I'm sure, as we do different shows, different episodes about what we're up to. But that's how Jason and I met, and we're a really good team. We're alike in many ways. We're dissimilar in many ways, which is good, because I am a really organized, let's make sure the house is, things are put in the right place kind of person. And he's not like that, which can get on my nerves, of course. And although I don't think the way I am gets on his nerves, he doesn't act like it. But if he, you know, it doesn't bother him when I say, I need this to happen. I need you to do this. I need you to do this. He doesn't feel like I'm nagging him, which is good. So we have a really good team going with living together, obviously, which is very important. And we have a really good team effort kind of going in just the way we handle issues and problems. as, I mean, all couples talk about how they're a good team, and I'm sure many, many couples are, but there's something about just our dynamic together that is always very lighthearted. It's always, you know, I tend to get serious and emotional a lot faster than he does, and he rarely does, and he doesn't ever get bothered by me. He comes from a family of really strong women also, which is really important, I think, for a woman like me especially, who's very strong-minded, and also an only child, so it's hard for me sometimes to think about sharing a thought, an idea, because I never really had to do that, even though, you know, I consider myself to be a fair, kind person. I just, it's just sort of a new thing for me in some cases. So he came from a family of really strong Puerto Rican women, which I think is a great benefit to being with my personality, because I'm certainly not too much to handle, but I have a lot of things that I think, I have a lot of things that I say, and he's not bothered by listening to the talking or doing what I ask or whatever, and he never loses himself in the process, because that's always one of the fears of a strong woman. At least people think this. I don't know if it's actually true, but a strong woman picking someone who accepts her for being who she is, but then doesn't actually have too much going for themselves. Like, they don't have that much to think. They don't have that much to say. I've run across that in my relationships in the past, and it's really frustrating. Much more frustrating in the long run than if you have a guy that wants to argue with you, because arguing, it can be very good. So I got off on a little tangent there about our relationship, but we have a great relationship. We're working on building our professional relationship and starting to do a lot more money-making endeavors with the homestead. But to me, we've only been in this house a year. It's a really exciting time for us. We're about to get married. 3 or so years after that, coming up soon, we'll try to think about squirting out a kid or two. You know, no rush or anything. And so it's really a great time to start sharing with you, with, you know, even if nothing else, these recordings are nothing else than just a memory for our children. I think it's a great time to start now, because this is the time to capture all of our fresh ideas and our excitement about what we're up to. This isn't 5 years after we did all this stuff. This is now. We are doing it. We're in it. And that's kind of our history a little bit. We are OurOkraWay.com. We are Cusco Winias and Homestead. We are Jason and Emma. So I just wanted to introduce us, and hopefully you will hear from us a lot in the future. Have a great day.